Fabiosa Medina Radio. Two Chicago reporters speaking on immigration and politics.
Fabiosa Medina Radio. Two Chicago reporters speaking on immigration and politics.
Hey, girl.
Hey, Leslie.
How have you been doing so far?
I've been doing good. I think it's day, 60, 70 something. I'm not even counting anymore, but I'm doing well. I've adapted to like working from home, studying from home, and just this podcast also, like reporting from home and also like co-hosting with you. And so it's kind of cool to have like a Zoom virtual podcast conversation with you. I think that's what we're aiming for, just virtual relationships at this point.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm actually there with you, which is really cool. And when we were doing our recording on Zencastr, that was kind of hard because I couldn't really see you. I couldn't really see your facial expressions or how you were actually feeling. And yeah, I think trying Zoom is better.
It's a time for like the, you know, platforms of Zoom and Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Skype, WhatsApp video. All of those are booming right now because that's like the only way or the safest way to communicate with each other. And even for our episode 5, which is today's episode, we're also going to talk about how a Jordanian American entrepreneur has developed his own app. It's a booking app that helps you talk to your favorite celebrities and public figures via video chat. And Gus Fakhouri, that's his name, he's with us here today, and we're so excited to learn all about Real Talk Live and talk about his heritage and background of being Jordanian. This is Gus Fakhouri. He's our guest for this episode for today. He's a Jordanian American entrepreneur, and he is the CEO and founder of Real Talk Live, and we're very excited to have him. You know, there's many Arabs and Middle Easterns that came to the U.S. throughout centuries, throughout decades, to come here and, you know, have a successful life. When I think of successful Arab entrepreneurs here in America, I think of Peter Dahal, who's the CEO of RX Bar, which is my favorite nutrition bar. And also like Ibrahim
Al-Hassan. I know him. I know that guy.
Oh, really? Okay. Also, Ibrahim Al-Husseini, who's a Palestinian American. He's a very famous venture capitalist and entrepreneur. And so, yeah, basically, we're very happy to have you here.
Yes, we are.
Appreciate you guys having me.
So, Gus, before we start about talking about RT, we just wanted to ask you more about your Jordanian roots and your heritage.
Yeah, so I'm first generation. Both my parents came to Chicago back in the early 80s. I lived here my entire life. Grew up in Glenview, moved to the city when I was 18, went to DePaul University. And I just come from a very old school or very old school family-oriented background. I'd say, my dad's one of 10, and there's about 45 grandkids on his side. My mom's one of 8, and there's about 20, 25 grandkids on her side. So, I mean, you do the math. Come from a very large family. And so I think just kind of given my culture, my upbringing, I definitely find that old school approach that's embedded in me and, you know, somewhat incorporate that into the modern day workplace, if you will. And so, you know, the things I carry with me as an entrepreneur, just kind of given my roots, is just surrounding myself with the right people and just seeing the success stories of some of my peers who have done well themselves as entrepreneurs. Just making sure I, you know, stick to the same individual values every day, which is really just, you know, commitment, being hard worker, and you know, being trustworthy. So, those are things I pretty much carry with me in the workplace. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I also know that you said that you went to DePaul. Did you get into entrepreneurship because you were at school, or was this something that happened after you graduated, or how did that come about?
Yeah, so my degree was in finance. I worked in sales and insurance for 7 years. And, while I did well in that industry, I didn't really have a passion for it, but I knew I always wanted to work in the sports and entertainment industry and be able to leverage my network. And so, you know, a few years back, I was looking into becoming a sports agent. I met with a few agencies, soon discovered it wasn't really a proper fit for me. So there was about a 2-month period, I'd say, where I was trying to figure out the adjustment between insurance and the next venture. For me, if I look back, it was May 8th, 2018, I was literally sitting in my apartment and I was beginning to brainstorm and, you know, think of current issues that exist in the sports and entertainment industry. And it was as simple as recognizing the social disconnect that exists between talent and their fan base. You know, everyone follows their favorite people on social media, but the likelihood that there's any form of direct social engagement is very low. So the question became, well, how do we give people that opportunity to talk to them while we put in place a model that gives the talent a desire to actually want to use it? And so that's how all these sort of, you know, questions and ideas started aligning that essentially led to the structure on how we put Real Talk Live together.
Yes, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, and did your work ethic come from, like, your father and mother coming to the States years ago?
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, ever since I was a kid, my parents have just embedded that in me, and that, you know, whatever it is that you're set out to do, no matter what industry it is, just to kind of, you know, give it your all. And, you know, till this day, you know, my dad, he's always on our ass. And so it sticks to you no matter if you're 5 years old or 30 years old. So it's good. It's good. There's definitely value in kind of having that over your head, if you will, you know, just always make sure you're meeting an expectation of success. So it's definitely instilled in me for sure.
Mm-hmm. And so how did you, like, start Real Talk Live? Like, what was that point where you were like, okay, I need to start this and launch it and actually put it to life?
Yeah. So for me, I kind of talked about it before, but it was just recognizing a problem and trying to find a solution. And so, you know, the reason behind it was really to give people an opportunity to, you know, connect with those that they admire most. You know, my ultimate goal really is to, you know, connect John Smith, who lives in a small town in Idaho that no one's ever heard of, and give him a chance to talk to someone that he never in a million years thought he can connect with. And so, you know, again, how we structured our model is really, it's to fulfill that goal. No matter how we go about it, that's the objective. And so if we can do that, then we know we've done our job.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to say, so your Real Talk Live is basically an app, and it's kind of like FaceTiming your favorite celebrities and public figures. And so how did you inform the celebrities, like, and kind of convince them to get onto the app?
Yeah, so, you know, my team and I, we've just been doing a mass influence outreach, just messaging them via Instagram, emailing them, contacting the agencies that represent them, and just introduce the platform to them. It's a simple way for them to earn extra money by engaging with their own fan base. And it kind of opens up the door for them to want to use and make it worth their time. And so we allow them to set their own price point per minute. And that's kind of music to their ears, knowing that their every minute of their time is being accounted for. And so that's one of their biggest assets, you know, is their time. And so to be able to monetize that in a very efficient manner is what we found them to find value in. And so it's ultimately led to us having a pretty good rate of them using and downloading the platform.
Mm-hmm. So about the structure and how you are recruiting talent, I wanted to ask you about the minutes under a talent's bio. What is the process? If I would like to speak to Erica from The Bachelor, or how can I do that?
Yeah, so users can send a request in one of two ways, either a live request or a scheduled request. Sector, you will see an option to click live request if the talent has said him or herself is available. So think of like Instagram Live, when someone goes on and everyone tunes in and They're watching what the talent's doing. They know they're there and they're connecting with them in real time. So it's almost like having their phone number, but not having their phone number, and you can reach out to them and connect. But in order to do that, you have to have the efficient number of credits in your account to be able to submit them a request. The live piece is one factor. And that's what's unique about it is, you know, if you wanted to talk to Erica and, you know, you're sending a scheduled request, but you're never able to connect with her because you don't know when she's available. If you see that she's live, you can then be exposed to that and then send her a request right then and there because she set herself as available. The second component is the schedule piece. And, you know, if you want to talk to her tomorrow at 3 p.m., 4 p.m., or 5 p.m., as an example, you can send up to 3 time pickers within a selected date and time for that talent to choose from. And if they select and approve one of them, then both parties join in at that specific time and give them the call. So we've been finding success with both live and scheduled. It really just kind of depends on the person's availability on both sides. So the biggest thing for us is to make sure that we're finding new features and new ways to better enhance the platform in itself, but the better likelihood for both parties to actually, you know, get on the transaction call.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. So now businesses, like with the pandemic, have all converted to online or just closed down in general. So what do you think about the future of businesses and like the, I guess, the way everything's formatted now?
Yeah, so, you know, I'll tell you one thing, you know, 3 to 4 months ago, people were spending more time on their phones than probably ever before. And then given this pandemic, I think it's fair to say that it's probably at an all-time peak. So we've been finding more talent joining the platform because one, they have more time on their hands. And two, just many of them see the benefit of creating an alternative revenue stream. And like I said, they're able to monetize their biggest asset, and that's their time. And so for us as a company, we're trying to take advantage of this time period while those are in quarantine. But to talk specifically about companies who may have gone out of business, and what does that mean for the long run? You know, are virtual businesses going to boom even more? I think this pandemic has shown that business owners, that have their employees, they can essentially work from home, and it doesn't necessarily require them to have to physically be in the office. It's certainly more difficult to manage, but they're learning that a lot of work can still get done being remote. And I think that's the kind of like a big wake up call, and we're going to see a spike in virtual businesses in general.
Hmm. Yeah. And also, do you think virtual relationships are now like the only way, I guess it's at its strongest point. And that's kind of what your app is all about. The virtual relationships, because we see Zoom, we see Skype, we see WhatsApp, we see Instagram, Facebook, and
we see a lot of people that miss their loved ones, their family, they can't, or they're far away. Like for example, Diane, her mother's in Lebanon, and so she like connects with her through WhatsApp. Do you see, I guess what Diane was saying was that, do you think that relationships will get stronger because of these virtual, because of virtual engagement or virtual platforms?
I don't know if it'll necessarily make both parties stronger. I think it's certainly a way that eases the opportunity for that connection to transpire, if that makes sense. So in other words, you know, I'm all about like meeting people in person and building relationships, you know, networking face to face, right? I think you build more off of that, and there's more value and meaning behind it. But all these things going on with Zoom and all these different platforms and the ways that people are connecting is certainly starting this way. But then, you know, I think I certainly see it transitioning. So
what is your advice to someone who wants to become an entrepreneur?
Yeah, so well, we launched 3 months ago, but I've been working on Real Talk Live for about a year and a half, so there's a lot of work that went into it before launch. So if I was to give any advice, I'd say that before you pursue anything, you know, first recognize a problem in the marketplace. And then if you think you found that solution, you know, be all in on solving that issue. In other words, drop your 9-to-5 job and let that idea not just be a side gig. And that's really the first step of showing any potential investor that you're serious and that you're all in. The second is to make sure you have thick skin. You know, being an entrepreneur is not easy. You know, I'd say there's going to be days where you want to give up and quit, but you know, being an entrepreneur requires you to be able to handle the bumps and not lose control of that steering wheel. You know, so if I could give myself advice 3 months ago, I'd say don't expect something to just happen or come through until it actually happens. And that's something I've learned very early on, and it's certainly a lesson I'll carry forward. So just prepare for the worst, because you never know what'll happen.
Yes. Thank you, Gus, for talking to us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I do have one last question. So what celebrities would you want, or maybe your dream celebrities, to go on the app? Who are you waiting for?
Yeah, so this isn't to like name drop or like show off or anything like that, but like I've had the benefit of meeting someone like Michael Jordan before, and like for me that was like an awesome, cool experience, right? But I think about it, right? If there's one person I'd really want to connect with and like get a chance to talk to, it'd be James Arthur, right? I don't know if a lot of people know who he is, but he's an artist out of the UK. Yes. And he's been getting, you know, he's becoming very popular. So if you asked me right now, like if I could connect with him or Michael Jordan, I'd probably tell you James Arthur, you know, just because like he's like just someone I look up to, and like I respect his talent as an artist. That's probably who I'd want to connect with for sure.
Great.
What about you guys? Who would you guys want to talk to on Real Talk Live?
Lady Gaga.
Journalist? Yeah. Oh, Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga for sure, yes. I would cry if I saw her. I would cry.
I would want to see those old legends like Robert De Niro or Al Pacino. Because even though they're very old now, I love their old movies, so... If you could, hook us up.
Al Pacino is definitely one of them. We named our dog after Al Pacino. His name is Pacino.
Wow.
That's funny. But Al Pacino would definitely be on the list as well. That guy's an icon. It's funny. Like, I think the biggest thing I've learned from all this is like never assume. And so when you want to... When we go out and we pursue talent to join our platform, even though they might not be relatable to me or other members of my team, like there are people that don't necessarily have a huge following, but people would certainly still pay to connect with and want to talk to. So I think that's like a huge lesson to be learned. Again, just kind of going back to the conversation about what advice you'd give is just never assume. We have talent on our platform that don't have the largest following in the world, but they're more engaged than some that, you know, do have a large following. So just a kind of interesting perspective when you kind of think about it, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and for all of our viewers watching, you can go on Instagram to learn more about Talk Live on @RealTalkLive or realtalklive.com. And you guys are on the App Store as well, right?
Yep, iOS and Android. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
great. Google Play.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, and we'll stay in touch.
For sure. Yeah.
This is Leslie.
And this is Diane.
Thank you for tuning in to episode 5, Connecting During an Outbreak. We appreciate you, Fiery Rabiosas, for tuning in again and supporting us. We appreciate you and love you. And music was produced by 20 Elbridge and cover art by our amazing friend, Arte Triste. Both great people. So, yeah.
Thanks for watching, everyone, and see you soon. Besos.
Besos.